My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country, and she's been our expert analyst throughout the debate and implementation of what's now known as Obamacare. Officially, it's the Affordable Care Act, and we want to get her thoughts to a number of developments as this issue becomes more front and center on the campaign trail, as well as what the Obama administration plans to do with this struggling system. And Grace Marie, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg, and there doesn't seem to be any lack of things to talk about, does there?
No, so many different directions we could go, and I'm sure ultimately we're going to leave some things on the sideline here due to time. But let's start with the presidential campaign. And Bill Clinton, of course, tried his own brand of health care reform, with Hillary taking the lead on that, as you well know, because you were involved in that debate as well. That failed. Obamacare did get through congressional scrutiny and the Supreme Court scrutiny. But the president, surprising a lot of people yesterday in Flint, Michigan, first he pointed out, not to anyone's surprise, that he did not like the old health care system because it was too expensive and not enough people were covered. But he also has a problem with the current system, and here's how he explained it.
The current system works fine if you're eligible for Medicaid, if you're a lower-income working person, if you're already on Medicare, or if you get enough subsidies on a modest income that you can afford your health care. But the people that are getting killed in this deal are small business people and individuals who make just a little too much to get any of these subsidies. Why? Because they're not organized, they don't have any bargaining power with insurance companies, and they're getting whacked. So you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people are out there busting it sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's the craziest thing in the world.
So, Grace Marie, I'm sure you believe there are many more problems with the system than that, but what do you make of that admission publicly from Bill Clinton?
Well, he's got the diagnosis right. People are very unhappy with this law. The longer it's in the place, the more unhappy they are. And he's clearly hearing from small businesses. He's hearing from families who can't afford their premiums. But what he's doing, I fear, Greg, is teeing up, if Hillary were to be elected president, teeing up even more government control over the health sector, when the American people know the problem is too much government control over health care. And he's saying people have health care. No, they have health insurance. Ask people how hard it is to find a doctor to see them. People on Medicaid still have to go to hospital emergency rooms, particularly if they need specialty care. So his diagnosis of the problem that people are unhappy with this is right. But if they want to push this further to give even more government control, they're going to have even more pushback from Congress and particularly the American people.
How big of a push are we seeing, particularly on the left, for at least the public option, if not going full Bernie Sanders and single payer?
That's their solution. I mean, their solution always is let's have more government control and more government spending. They never admit maybe this is not working. Maybe it's not working because if we're going to try to have a system with consumer choice and competition, which is the way they sold Obamacare, you've got to actually have that. You have the health insurance companies are absolutely in straitjackets, and the American people are being told the kind of health insurance that they must buy, soup to nuts, absolutely everything anybody could think of, instead of having a policy that may actually work for them and their families that they may be able to afford. That's not a choice they have right now.
Let's give the very next thing Clinton said on Monday in Flint and see how that ties into what we've just said here.
Here's the simplest thing. Figure out an affordable rate and let people use that, something that won't undermine your quality of life, won't interfere with your ability to make expenses, won't interfere with your ability to save money for your kids' college education, and let people buy in to Medicare or Medicaid.
So those are both single-payer systems, of course. So what do you make of the buy into Medicare or Medicaid, even if you don't technically qualify?
Buying into Medicare is the program will go bankrupt even faster than it already is going bankrupt. The average person who is on Medicare will have paid in about $160,000 over their working life, or actually for a couple, into Medicare, they are expected to consume more than $400,000 worth of services over their life after they qualify for Medicare. The system is not sustainable. It will go broke. It will go broke even faster if you put more people on it. We've got to solve this in a way that engages competition in some of the programs that we have already seen. Medicare Part D, the Healthy Indiana Plan in Indiana that Mike Pence is very likely to talk about tonight, gives consumers choices. They're happy with the product. They're engaged in helping to make sure that they spend their healthcare dollars wisely. And they see the savings when they make smart decisions. That's what we need more of, not more government spending and government control, thinking that somehow we're going to be able to spend enough so that everybody can have all the healthcare they want all the time without any strings attached. That's not possible.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, you and I have talked a number of times already this year about the dwindling number of insurance companies willing to participate in the exchanges because the subsidies they do get are not enough to cover their expenses because the people that are getting on these exchanges are older and sicker and the younger and healthier people are not doing that. Now, it seems from these media reports that we're getting, there's almost a schizophrenic approach from the Obama administration on what to do about this. These are stories I'm going to reference here that are literally just 4 days apart. First, from last Thursday, Washington Post. The Obama administration is maneuvering to pay health insurers billions of dollars the government owes under the Affordable Care Act through a move that could circumvent Congress and help shore up the president's signature legislative achievement before he leaves office. Justice Department officials have privately told several health plans suing over the unpaid money that they are eager to negotiate a broad settlement, which could end up offering payments to about 175 health plans. Now, on October 3rd in The Hill, quote, the Obama administration is seeking to toss out a pair of high-profile health care lawsuits in which insurers claim they are owed millions of dollars under the Affordable Care Act. The two insurers, Moda Healthcare and Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina, have sued the federal government over a combined $338 million in Obamacare payments they argue are overdue. The Justice Department filed motions to dismiss both lawsuits on Friday, arguing that the federal government isn't responsible for those payments at all. So are we just getting conflicting reports? Are they not sure what they want to do? What's going on here?
You have a big disagreement between the political people who want to do everything they can to rescue Obamacare and the civil servants who understand that these payments are illegal. The Congress has passed very specific legislation forbidding any more corporate welfare. One of the reasons that health insurance companies participated so actively in Obamacare is because they knew not only were they going to get millions of new customers, but that the federal government was going to be providing them with billions of dollars in additional subsidies to keep them in the game. Congress said, no, these plans have to make it on their own. If they're not making enough money, then that's their problem, not the taxpayers' fault. As a result, you now have this big war going on within the administration with a civil servant saying, we cannot violate a specific directive from Congress, and the political people in the White House saying, we think these subsidies are legal and go ahead and make these payments. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Who's going to win this game?
The fact that this debate is playing out this publicly and with this much intensity, what does it tell you about what the administration knows about the state of the system right now?
They know it's in trouble. And we have been talking, Greg, since the beginning, since before this law passed, about the problems with this law. It was totally predictable that this was going to happen. Finally, the supporters are saying, yes, you know, it has some problems. I think it is a whole nother level when former President Bill Clinton basically says the law is a mess. It's a crazy scheme. Remember, when this passed, it was a draft of legislation. They never had a chance to really tie this up and to figure out how do we make all these moving parts work together. It's not working. Congress is not inclined to fix this law because all the administration wants is more money and more control. Congress is not going to do that. They're going to have to negotiate with Congress to figure out how to give people more choices, put states back in charge of regulating health insurance so they can have a broader range of choices, a broader range of policy options than the cookie-cutter plans that they are now being forced to buy by Obamacare.
Last topic, Grace Marie, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past few months as well. While the American people might not care that much about the maneuverings of the Justice Department, they do care about what their premiums are going to be, and that information is coming later this month. What are they likely to see?
The average premium increase for people that are purchasing health insurance in the Obamacare exchanges is going to be about 25%. Some of them will be only single digits, but some others are going to be 60 and 70% higher. The administration says, oh, well, don't worry about that because most of the people in the exchanges are getting subsidies. Well, guess who's paying for that? The taxpayer is. And what Bill Clinton is talking about is all of the people who are not getting subsidized health insurance. Remember, only about 8 or 9 million people are getting health insurance that's subsidized through the Obamacare exchanges. Tens of millions more people are exposed to much higher costs without any subsidies because they also have to buy policies that are so strictly mandated, so strictly regulated, and with all of the mandates of Obamacare. So having the seeing the imbalance between the people getting subsidies and tens of millions more not getting subsidies, it clearly, the Democrats have to acknowledge this is a problem that has to be solved. And if they want to do that, they're going to this time have to work with Republicans to do it.
Grace Marie, that'll be the last word for now. We'll see what those numbers are for many people around the country in the weeks to come. Thank you, as always, for your time.
Okay. Thanks, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.